Welcome back into Bullseye on the afternoon. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas here with you. Got about another hour and 15 minutes. We mentioned earlier, it's in the 70s. It's sunny. Boy, it sure feels like baseball season. And joining us now is fantasy connoisseur. He works for Fox Sports, and he's a good buddy of mine, Ryan Fowler. Mr. Fowler, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. Congrats on the new show, and I appreciate you guys inviting me up.
We appreciate you coming on. We didn't know you were up in this area yesterday. Ryan's a native Clevelander, but now he lives down in Cincinnati, and he works for Fox Sports, so he's a little bit wore out on a Friday afternoon, but he's kind enough to give us some of his time. Well, fantasy baseball drafts, if they haven't begun yet, they will begin very soon as spring training broke a little over a week ago for most teams. And as we dive in to the fantasy baseball draft season, everybody wants to know, who are the big-time sleepers in fantasy baseball drafts this year?
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating. I mean, you look at the first round of drafts right now, and it's kind of funny to see how things shake out. I mean, a couple years ago, the Pirates' Andrew McCutchen was a top three pick. Andrew McCutchen isn't even sniffing the first round now. You have guys that have moved up that aren't household names by any means. I know they're in the greater Cleveland area. I mean, people know they're Indians, but when you talk about guys like Jose Altuve and Mookie Betts, emerging stars, they're not household names. So I think you have to also take that into consideration when creating your draft strategy. But sleepers, it's a loaded word now. I think the one thing you have to also keep in mind when you go to do draft strategy and you're playing in a fantasy league is there's a lot more information than there was back in the 90s and even 10 years ago, where you were doing a lot of the research through magazines and some data material. Everybody has access to the internet now. But there's a couple guys out there that I find fascinating. I think, especially at starting pitching, I think there's a guy out there in Seattle, James Paxton, a young arm that the Mariners really like. I think that's an interesting place to start because the Mariners have had a lot of young prospect pitching not work out. They just traded Taiwan Walker to the Arizona Diamondbacks in exchange for Gene Segura, who will bat second for them. So James Paxton's a guy to keep an eye on. Down here in Cincinnati, now that Brandon Phillips has moved on to Atlanta, that opens the door for another prospect, Jose Peraza, who is starting to gain some steam in fantasy baseball average draft position. Peraza was a one-time prospect with the Braves, then went to the Dodgers, then came to the Reds. He's got some speed, so I would definitely not sleep on him. And then I was watching the Yankees. You mentioned spring training. The Yankees played on MLB Network today, and we got to look at Aaron Judge. And, you know, Aaron Judge is a big prospect in their organization. He got some burn towards the end of last year, but not a lot of people are talking about him. He must have hit one 400-plus feet, no doubter, where the outfielders didn't even move. So, again, we could talk ad nauseum for sleepers over the next 15 minutes, but those are some guys that come to mind off the top of the head.
All right, Ryan, appreciate you giving us the sleepers, but if I got the number one draft pick, who should be that guy I go after? Who's going to give me my points?
It's Trout, and I know it's kind of Mike Trout again, right? Well, yeah, but you're looking for consistency out of that number one pick, and Trout delivers. It's fascinating. The top three picks based on average draft position are Mike Trout, and then you get Jose Altuve. I mean, Jose Altuve at second base. Second base is not an easy position to fill, but when you look at Altuve's numbers and you're trying to fill out runs, RBI, home runs, batting average, and stolen bases, Altuve does a little bit of everything. So does Mookie Betts, who's the number three guy. But it comes back to Trout. I mean, he is steady Eddie. He was one of the top prospects in baseball at the time he broke with the Angels, and he kind of just does it year in and year out, and you can't ask for much more.
There's nothing fishy about Mike Trout with that first overall pick. You knew I was going there at some point. You tweeted something a little bit earlier today talking about how opposing batters haven't cracked a season averaging anything north of 200 against Jake Arrieta over the past few seasons. Where does he rank among starting pitchers that you should draft in this year's fantasy draft?
Yeah, he's top 12. And, you know, it's fascinating going to different drafts because Lester's ahead of him right now, and it is a 1-2 punch that the Cubs have. But Arrieta, I mean, he gets – it's Arrieta's story just as a whole, as baseball, is crazy because he really just didn't work with the Orioles. And then he had this renaissance when he joined the Cubs. and he's been dynamite since he joined the Cubs. But, I mean, he would carry a 5 ERA with the Baltimore Orioles earlier on in his career. But I think the one thing you have to keep in mind, too, top three rounds, a lot of pitchers go. And guys like Lester and Arrieta are going to be off the board before the end of the third round. So you do really have to kind of stake your claim. Otherwise, you're going to be looking at some what we call SP2s, starting pitcher twos, in that second tier, 13 through 24. Most leagues are 12 teams. So you look at 12 teams times 2, 24, and that's where you get the 13 to 24 range on the second tier of starting pitchers. But I like Arrieta. I mean, I think, again, when you look at what the Cubs did last year in the National League, and obviously we won't go through the World Series again, but it was one of those things where, I mean, Lester and Arrieta, they're consistent, and there isn't a lot of holes in that game. And when I looked up that stat and I saw that even wins and losses are a little bit of a wonky stat these days. We get a little bit into the advanced metrics, but sometimes you'll learn something. And when opposing hitters can't hit north of 200 off a major league pitcher, it's amazing he lost 8 games last year.
Ryan, I'll ask you this. And for guys who may be more of the casual baseball fans, there's always those names that sort of stick out to you. For myself, Joey Votto, Brandon Phillips, since you're down in that Cincinnati area, I see those names. I think, oh, maybe I should go after those guys. Who are some of those guys you might want to stay away from because last year they didn't have the greatest of seasons?
Yeah, you know, I think what happens is once players start to get older, you're going to kind of pump the brakes on guys that you're going to fade in drafts. And, you know, it's one of those things where I hate to say it, but Jason Kipnis had a monster year last year. But I think that's his ceiling when it comes to fantasy. I know a lot of people think there might be a little bit more out of that, but he's had enough time in the major leagues right now where I think he might regress a little bit as far as production goes. And it's tricky because you want Jason Kipnis to be able to do so many different things. And I think bringing in Encarnacion and looking what Frankie Lindor did last year, it's not all on Kipnis now. And I think in past years, it's been all on Kipnis, and that weighs on a player, obviously. So I would kind of steer clear of that. I think, and again, when you look at some of the have-nots in baseball, Giancarlo Stanton, I know the guy can hit a home run 500 feet, but there are huge health concerns when it comes to Giancarlo Stanton. I look at his last 3 years, and it's like, you know, the guy might end up in a Yankee uniform before it's all said and done, but is he going to play in more than 100 games? Because year in and year out, something bites him, and that's where I get a little nervous. I know a lot of people have no problem drafting Giancarlo Stanton, but I just get really nervous on the games played because that is one thing that you always is going to be in the back of your mind. You know, it's crazy. The Yankees starting pitcher, Masahiro Tanaka, had a nice year last year. Over the last 2 years, he's had some nice times. He's playing with a partially torn ligament in his elbow. It's one of those ones where if it fully tears, you have Tommy John surgery and you're out for at least a year. He's been playing through that and throwing a 3.00 ERA. So those are types of things that I keep an eye on and maybe kind of steer clear of on draft day, just the potential for injury or the lack of durability in the players.
We're speaking with Ryan Fowler of Fox Sports. You can follow Ryan on Twitter at Fox Fowler. That's at Fox Fowler. You already brought up the World Series, so we have to go back to the Tribe again. Of course, we are an Indians affiliate. Next week begins Wahoo Week here on WEOL. And we have to ask, because we know a lot of the listening audience certainly wants to know, which Indians do you think will have the biggest fantasy impact this season?
I think it starts with Kluber. I think, again, that rotation is just so lights out. I mean, it's scary. And, again, it was a tough break to lose Salazar and Carrasco because those are guys that fantasy owners also want. I mean, it's wins and losses in real baseball, and a lot of that translates over to fantasy baseball, too. When you look at what Kluber's done, again, a late bloomer in baseball, but from fantasy standpoint, you're going to like it a lot, even if he gets the delayed start that's been whispered around. He does have a ton of innings on that arm over the last 3 years. But Carrasco coming back, I mean, strikeouts per 9 innings of around 10. You got to love that. Salazar, I think there's a lot to like there, too. I don't know so much. I had Tomlin on my team last year, and he did a lot of good things for me in off the waiver wire. So I'm interested in that. Bauer, I think we kind of know what Bauer is right now. It's feast or famine. I mean, it can get really scary really quick, and you're probably playing with fire on that. And then it comes back to Encarnacion. I think Encarnacion When you look at his three-year splits, he loves playing in Toronto, loves playing in the Rogers Center. His home-away splits were a little scary, so you wonder, okay, he's got a new ballpark, how will that work? But the players around him, I mean, a lot depends on Michael Brantley. A lot depends on if Frankie Lindor can continue to grow, which I believe he will. But Encarnacion's big bat would be where I would rank him after that great starting pitching. And then I know it's probably going to come back to Andrew Miller and the Cody Allen thing. You know, a lot of people in fantasy baseball, they play in leagues where you're trying to collect saves out of your relief pitchers. And I think Andrew Miller does have an advantage of he's going to get work on a regular basis, but are you willing to risk him going out there and having a bad outing when you know you're not going to get a save? Yeah, you might get 2 to 3 strikeouts per appearance, but if you're not qualifying for a save, he doesn't really have the full value that a Cody Allen does at this time.
Well, Ryan, it was a pleasure to have you on. We're up against it, but we are definitely going to have you on again. We'd like to get you on weekly, not only to talk about the fantasy baseball season, but we know you are our go-to guy for fantasy football as well when that begins again in the summer. Always a pleasure to have you on, even on a day like this where you just got back earlier this morning after the 3-hour voyage back from Cleveland. Thanks, as always, for joining us, and we'll have you on again next week.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, that's Ryan Fowler.